Welcome, folks. This is Chris Jansen. I'm here with Marvin from Join the Internet. We're just meeting. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple email conversations. Thanks so much for joining me today, Marvin. I'm awesome.
Dude, thank you for having me. Yeah. No, I really appreciate it. I don't know if you know, but I've been just like spamming your chat on your on your End Evil podcast. I'm Join the Internet. So I really wanted to be a part because I love the topics you guys are talking about. Your channel just happened to come up because the algorithm is already feeding me things like this. Thankfully, I guess I'll say, even though I'm not the biggest fan of the algorithms in general. And so, yeah, I just wanted to reach out because I care about the topics that you talk about. And I'm trying to figure out the best way that I can contribute and, you know, figure out what I can do to participate in all of that good stuff. And so I was kind of thinking this episode would be a little bit of you helping me figure that out. And I have lots of ideas already. So,
well, that's fantastic. I mean, just the things you described already, a lot of help. Hearing that we did manage to reach people, you know, sometimes it feels like it's hard to reach people at all. But the fact that, you know, there was some algorithm out there that brought my work to you, to me, is like pretty exciting and good to hear. And, you know, all the comments I've had on the show, I can't think of anything I've seen that really that I didn't like. You know, anybody getting involved and sharing and putting in their two cents is helpful. I feel like it's weird how stubborn the world is right now, in a way, with not wanting to do anything and not wanting to be involved with what to me seems like the most important thing ever in existence, which is figuring out what's right and wrong and how do we fit into that. So I guess my first question to you would be, like, what do you see as the most important thing? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, on our short call yesterday, I mentioned that I have a little surprise that I wanted to show you on camera. So I guess I'll just get that right out of the way. And it's this right here. You definitely know what this is, right?
Yeah.
So, check out the title.
La Fin de Mar.
Yeah. So it's a French version because that's all that's available on Amazon, and it's $6.95. I also just recently bought a, and I'll talk about the book a little bit in case there's anyone who watches and doesn't know about it. I watch a lot of Mark Passio, so that's how I even heard about it, generally speaking.
Me too. Yeah.
But I bought an English copy of this, and it's called La Fin du Mal, The End of All Evil in English. And it's an amazing book. I really, really like it. I haven't finished it yet. You know, I put it on and I'll just listen to it. It's on audiobook. Like, it's really easy to find. I know it's on your website too. You have the PDF of it. So definitely downloaded that. I appreciate it. And this is going to help me get better with French because I kind of know about it. I know a little bit of French, but I'm not that good. But, you know, I think this will give me a good reason to work through it and help improve it. But to answer your question, ending evil, brother, you know, it's as simple as that, doing what we can to shift the dynamic, you know, at least help progress. Like, if right now it's 70-30 with 70 evil, 30 moral, you know, then let's see if we can make that 69-31, you know, even like whatever improvement we can make is going to be big, I think. So that's like the most important thing, in my opinion. And from the broadest perspective, what I am going to try to be contributing to, you know, as much as I can.
Wow, that's a beautiful answer. I love that. I don't know if you've seen, I've had him on the show, Derek Bartolacelli.
I did.
He does Dissolving the Divide with Leslie. He's in France, and I'm sure he'd be someone, if you reached out to him, especially if you're part of the natural law community, he'd be happy to help you with some French because he's really good bilingual in that way.
Yeah, I'm looking for a community, and I just haven't. I'm out here in Santa Barbara. Maybe I should talk about myself.
My name. Yeah, feel free. Fill us in a little bit on your deal and tell people about your music, too. Oh, looks like we got frozen for a minute there. You're back in action. Go ahead.
Oops, I'm back. Okay, cool. Yeah, my name is Marvin. I'm out here in Santa Barbara, California, USA. I do have a project called Join the Internet. It's one word. It's primarily music, but, you know, I also just kind of use it as a nom de plume, so to speak, for all kinds of different things, like my project that I want to talk to you about here today called Easing People into Waking Up, YouTube channel and podcast.
Easing People into Waking Up?
Yeah, I have a project
like that.
With that goal and that title, and I'll be excited to talk to you more about that. And so anyway, throughout the years, like, I've been into these, like, I think 20, I'm just going to guess 2015 or something, like around the Pizza G8 time when all of that stuff, WikiLeaks and all of that stuff started coming out. I became much more engrossed in that topic. And since that time, I've kind of been under the radar, so to speak, you know, not really talking about these types of topics like, you know, evil conspiracy that the upper echelons of government and those sorts of things. But just over time, and especially after COVID, you know, I've just kind of reached boiling point where it's just like, when is enough enough of just different things happening, you know, people getting killed, literally, people being lied to by media, literally, you know, people's critical thinking skills being suppressed, literally, you know, and all of that has just now boiled into a really ugly soup to yield a me who wants to figure out something that can be done about it. So I haven't quite found a community of people like that yet. I will say, though, the more I started talking about these topics more like publicly, you know, openly, I am finding that there are people who are a little more like me that, you know, if they've known about these types of things, they just haven't really been talking about them on purpose because it's scary. You know, it's really scary to put yourself out there and just start talking about these kinds of things. And it's not an unfounded fear either. Like, people like genuinely die because they talk about these topics. So it is really scary. But I've just reached a point where I have to, you know, there's no option, in my opinion. It's like an obligation. Like Mark Passio says, you know, he has a really funny approach. I love Mark Passio a lot, but his approach makes me laugh a lot of times because, I mean, you know why. If anybody watches Mark Passio, you'll know how he gets on his shows. We'll call it passion. He's passionate. We'll say it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like it a lot. And I think it helped rile me up a little bit. So mentally, I take a different approach than Mark Passio with how he talks about things. But hey, the knowledge is the knowledge at the end of the day. So long-winded way of saying, reaching out to Derek sounds like a good idea. I probably will.
Yeah, you know, it's something I was just talking about today. Actually, I did a little walk and talk for tonight's podcast. For folks listening, we're pre-recording this, and you're going to be hearing it probably 2 weeks after we've recorded this. But on my little walk and talk today, I was kind of talking about, from a personal point of view, my own struggle to some extent, doing this type of work and then finding the balance of being able to support doing this type of work. It's difficult, you know, like not somebody who had a family business already or a particular line of work that was incredibly successful. You know, I've always just kind of worked with labor through most of my life. And in the last few years, trying to learn how to develop more entrepreneurial skills so I can be more independent and less bound to the systems out there. But the way our world is currently, and talk about that book has such an interesting section on culture. You know, our culture is a culture of slavery. And in this slavery culture, we're really bound to a lot of aspects of it, licenses, fees, taxes.
Yep.
Taxes.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it gets to be very difficult to extricate ourselves. And people always want to look at the physical world things as like the major pins that we have to knock down. When in truth, the most difficult thing we have to knock down is the pins in our mind, in our mindset. And those also get in the way of relationships. And I think One thing I realized is when I started doing this content creation and putting my podcast out there, I started meeting other like minds. And now I have like regular masterminds with people you see on these meetings, on these other podcasts. Like some of the most brilliant minds in my mind are people that have already discovered natural law and then are speaking about it online and not afraid to share who they are. Like even against, despite what you said, we know that this slave culture, the authoritarians in place don't want people like us spreading this message and working together. And so they're looking for all kinds of ways to keep us divided, fractionalized, fragmented from one another. But what's pretty powerful is when you start speaking out like this, you're going to find friends. And not only friends, but friends that have principles. And that opens a lot of doors. And I think together we can open a lot of minds and a lot of doors the more we do this network. And so having you here today is a big sign of that, more of that to come.
Amen, brother. That's what I've been finding too, a little bit. So I would say like at the end of 2022, I could probably even figure out the date if to get super specific, but near the end of 2022 was when I reached the point where I was like, all right, it's time to, it's just time, because like, I'll tell you about my experiences that led me to what I'm calling my project, easing people into waking up. I just, over the years, time and time again, and I know that you've had this too. I know like people who are general in this topic have had this type of thing happen where you'll bring up these types of topics. You'll have like solid points. You know, you might have evidence. You have like just really solid, let's call it a solid argument. And then what you get back, and this is literally the types of things I would get back, is things like, get off the dark web, you know, or, oh, I don't care about that, whatever, like, I can't do anything about it. Just some version of apathy, dismissal, and ridicule, you know, some version of that. And at times, it would take even an aggressive form, like people genuinely becoming, like, angry that you bring something like this up. And this could be your family and this could be your friends. And this type of thing just had, it just struck me, because it's really easy to say something like, oh, well, I guess I'm just smarter. But I don't think that's the truth. I really don't think it's as simple as that. Maybe it's a part of it because everyone is different. But I started to figure there has to be something else going on. What lots and lots of thinking, lots and lots of documenting and researching into all kinds of issues finally had me conclude, and it's the foundation of my project of easing people into waking up, is that really what's happening is there are three things kind of lacking, I find, in people. And I think this lacking has been on purpose. This is a systemic lack of education in these topics. So I'm going to tell them to you now. The first is, you've probably heard of it. Have you heard of emotional intelligence? Have you ever
absolutely,
you know about it? Yeah. Okay, cool. Should we talk about that a little bit before I move on?
Just yeah, so that's a big one. That's another thing I was talking about this morning. So I love that you brought that up.
Do you want to give like a quick one sentence? Or I can too, but just through the people who are going to
watch
this.
Yeah, like I would say emotional intelligence is the ability to navigate the waters of emotions between us and people we relate with in a reasonable way. So we can relate to others and communicate and build trust.
And the hugest part of that is reconciling the emotions within ourselves. So, like, let me see what I can add to that. Some people think that being emotionally intelligent means you're able to like hide your emotions, for example, and it means that you're able to like suppress them or like not show them. And actually, that is emotionally unintelligent. When you're emotionally intelligent, what you're able to do is have your emotions and experience them and use them as a tool, you know, the same as your thoughts. It's another part of your tool set, because our intuition, our emotions, they give us clues. You know, they really, really do. If you find something enjoyable, like, that's a clue. If you find something uncomfortable, that's a clue. And what people tend to do when they get these clues, when they're not emotionally intelligent, is they react. You know, they'll just give in to whatever that immediate instinct is. And the output of that is someone might yell, for example, or someone might, like, what's that called? The fight or flight, like, get emotionally hijacked. So emotional intelligence, like, really helps you start to understand that dynamic within you, you know, through lots of self-exploration. And it's hard. It's not easy. But confronting your own biases and your own traumas, blah, 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 blah. Being willing to do that and being willing to do that honestly, those are things that I found increase emotional intelligence. And I'll just tell you, I find it super lacking across the board. Like, just walk out, go to the grocery store, and you'll see it. You know, go to the post, you'll see it. You'll see it.
Yeah, when the grocery store runs out of toilet paper for a week, you really see people's lack of emotional intelligence shining through, right?
Exactly. It's different things, too. So the second one, then I'll move on from that one. So that's, like, the first thing that I find just lacking is emotional intelligence. The second is what I call hyper self-awareness. So it's very similar to emotional intelligence, but it's a nuanced difference. Hyper self-awareness to me is about that ability to, like, step outside of yourself and look at a situation from the outside in. And that means being willing to look at your own role, you know, and look at your own behaviors and do your best to see your own blind spots. Because very often without self-awareness, we might say things that offend people unintentionally. You know, we might be offended by someone else's behaviors when they did not have any intention. And so in that sense, self-awareness lets you, again, like, take that step outside of yourself and look at a situation. And that'll segue into the third one. With this last one here that's lacking, critical thinking, which, you know, maybe you can, have you heard critical thinking, you know, about critical thinking?
Absolutely. Sure. And we often talk about the trivium as a way to, you know, some structure to do critical thinking. And I think it's a really good structure, an ancient structure that works really well, you know?
Yeah. And critical thinking, what I like about it, it's a little bit like math. It's not, it's just pure logic and reasoning. So there's not an emotion to critical thinking. It is literally like logic. So if A is B, then B must be A. That has to be true because of the axioms that you started with. So
that's like a geometry proof, right? You start with your given, and then you say, well, if given is true, then that means, you know, what can we conclude based on?
Yeah, and this must not be true by comparison, right? And those sorts of things. So all to say, that is now really the foundation of what I decided back in 2022 that I'm going to try to promote and increase in the world as much as I can, hopefully. The idea is this simple. If right now when these topics are brought up and talked about, people are apathetic to them, people are ridiculing them, people are just plain ignoring them, then I think what is happening is these people are, they do not possess the emotional intelligence, the self-awareness, and the critical thinking to receive information. And so I'll be curious to see what happens when these three pivotal things improve. And my bet is what will happen is more people will be ready to receive the information. More people will be ready to go, oh shit, I can see now how this is not only possible, but it is literally happening. These are things that are literally, governments are actually, you know, killing the leaders of a country. Government literally does own me, Marvin, as a citizen. And it's a literal slavery. It's not a it's not like a metaphor. It's literal. We are owned. It's true. And it's a hard thing to accept. It's like really hard to accept that. I think it's going to take something like that to ultimately do it. You know what I mean? So that's the.
I really like how you broke down those three things that are holding people back, because I really agree with your observations. Especially like the one that really stuck out for me is that hyper-focused on themselves aspect, you know, like Mark gets into solipsism and I've talked about, you know, the narcissists and the moral relativists, right? Those are all words, but you know, there's a spectrum of people and many of us tend to like slip into these different roles because society grows these molds, you know, society creates our culture, wants us to slip into these molds of just kind of judging people and stereotypes. And these are the things that fit into society. And these are the things that don't. And if you talk about something that doesn't fit in, then we start putting you in this other category kind of thing. But, like even a lot of people I've seen in the alternative health and, people are doing alternative research, still like get this cyclical issue where they're hyper focused on their own self or their own personal gains or how's it going to affect me. And whenever we have these conversations with people about, okay, we need to work towards a world without government. Government is literally, like you said, kidnapping, killing. And then behind government, people with the power of government are literally raping and enslaving children in the most terrible, heinous ways you can imagine. This is going on a daily basis, you know, and moment by moment basis. And it's like, how can we disconnect from that? I think people feel like they have to disconnect from it because it's too much to look at. It's like looking right in the light. It hurts your eyes, you know, to look at the real problems. Yeah. And so people spend most of their lives finding ways to keep themselves blinded from the light of the truth, which is that we're here for a reason, you know, that this morality thing, these emotions we're having, they are reality. They're our ability to recognize reality. And the reason we're getting emotional and off-ended is because our consciousness is interpreting right and wrong. And it's recognizing that a lot of places that we're being forced into or pushing ourselves into our mindset is wrong. And that's causing emotions. So if we ignore those emotions, we're ignoring reality, we're shutting out natural law. And that's why it's such a hard thing for people to recognize and align with, because they've been spending their whole life trying to not look at that bright light, you know, and we're asking them to do the most difficult possible thing that can be done is to become a human again.
Just as importantly, though, is they were also raised to do that. We have been raised to do that. That's been on purpose. You know, it's kind of like that John D. Rockefeller quote. You know, I think he said, "I don't want a nation of thinkers. I want a nation of workers." You know, so it's all in that statement. Like, it really is. There's no reason for a entity like the government to want something different than that, because it knows that if that were to occur, naturally people would realize their own power, you know, and their own abilities and their own capabilities. You know, they would recognize all of those things. And then in that sense, they'd have no other reason to not work together and figure things out between each other instead of having to rely on big daddy. So so that's the gist of that from my end. I completely agree with what you're saying. And so from this point, you know, it starts to become to me like, what is next? And when I think about that, things like feeling compelled to be on here come to my mind and just start to be just kind of more open. And then this is really all something like this can be for me, for example, is a starting point, you know, really small starting point, because it will take a lot more to get to where I think people can actually go. I think we can actually get to a place where people more often are now like woken up. It's obviously extremely difficult. If it wasn't, we would see improvements by now. You know, I've heard Mark Passio say, we're not winning, we're losing, you know, we're losing even more than we have before. I can see that angle of it. I definitely can. I would probably disagree based on my instinct and just kind of what I'm seeing in my day-to-day life. But at the end of the day, you know, one of us will be right, so and one of us will be wrong. I just know things kind of go in ups and downs and ups and downs. And for too long, things have just been going down that I just think eventually, like it says in The End of All Evil, all people are capable of recognizing truth in its purest form. So so I think there will be like a point where you just have to like see things for what they are. You can't not do that because unless we actually do get like, I don't know, Neuralink implanted into our brains and now it can actually control us, which that's a whole nother topic, but
yeah, and that might be right around the corner. But yeah, you know, I agree with you that, you know, what the book is pointing out, The End of All Evil, is it is just a matter of time. And, you know, good is the essence of what all is. The, you know, God, good, that's what this whole thing is, reality, right? So evil is something that's developed inside of it that has grown, but it's just a matter of time till it's extinguished, because good is what God is. It is the ultimate thing, you know, like it has to be the thing that's remaining at the end. And so evil will be destroyed and then it'll show up in different ways again. It's just a question for our process being here on this plane of existence. How much of it do we want to be part of, you know? And I think that's where people get stuck often, where we start presenting that, well, if you recognize the world we're in, government is an evil entity. There's nothing good about it. People want to defend it endlessly because to resist it seems scary, you know, like you pointed out. But to resist it is the golden path. It is the more righteous path, even though it's more difficult. So we have to make choices in our life that are some level of sacrifice or being uncomfortable or difficult because it's for the greater good. And people, what they will always inevitably say in these disagreements or arguments is like, yeah, but if we stopped having government, there's going to be all these problems in the meantime. Like, or if I didn't get my money from the government, then I'm going to be poor. You know, and it's like, yeah, we might have to go through some uncomfortable things. That doesn't mean we don't go towards the light. That doesn't mean we don't do the right thing just because it's going to be uncomfortable or our particular lifetime might have some discomfort. You know, that might be part of the game, but it's important that we still do the right thing because of principle, not because how it's going to work out for us in the next week or two. Yeah. So, you know, there is a level of hard work and sacrifice that has to happen on that path, right? I mean, it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, and you bring up an interesting point too about you said evil will come back in a different form. I think that's a good point to make because yes, the End of All Evil, which by the way, audience, it's a book by Jeremy Locke. I understand that's a pen name. No one knows who somebody knows, but it's not common knowledge who actually wrote it. Super, super rare book, but I do recommend it because it breaks down the concept of what's moral and what is evil. And it's actually the best definition of it that I have ever come across because it's very simple. And it even makes that point. Truth is simple. And so evil is defined as, well, actually, maybe I'll start with what's
good. Evil's the destruction of freedom. I always say, so, you know, right on the show, that's his, one of his really good definitions. I love that. Go ahead.
Yeah. In the book, it actually starts with the definition of what's moral and what's good, which is the infinite value of the freedom, you know, of the human being. And then evil is defined as the destruction of freedom. So anything that tries to destroy the notion that the human has infinite worth is evil. And as I've kind of tested that against different things, I found that it works, like on a critical thinker level. It makes sense and it works and it helps get you through lots of different morality problems, you know, like maybe we'll even come up with an exercise and think through different ones. But you do have to accept a premise, and that premise is that the human has infinite worth. If you do not accept that premise, then the rest of it won't resonate with you either. But I have come to accept that premise. I truly believe it. And I have come to accept that premise through lots of different experiences. But the main one, honestly, is simply the fact that I am conscious right now. You know, just as I've thought through, like, how can that even be? Like, how is it that right now I am having an experience and no one else seems to be having the experience I am? And yet it seems like they are also all having an experience. And we have zero idea, even to this day after the millennia probably of research and, you know, decades of progress in neurology and stuff, zero idea how it is that chemicals firing in our brains and, you know, neurons making connections then lead to me tasting my coffee, you know, when it touches my tongue, or me seeing you on a screen. Like, where is that happening? Is that in a physical space somewhere? We don't have any idea. We just, like, literally don't. The most advanced, you know, neuroscientists in this field at some point admit that we just don't know. We just literally don't know. And all of that eventually led me to, and again, my own life experiences, how I have grown as a person throughout my life, you know, experiences with things like psychedelics, for example, and just the level of emotions that you can feel with that, that is different than when you have not taken them, and the types of understandings that end up just kind of coming to you. You don't ask for them. They just end up kind of coming to you. All have led me to be able to accept that premise. But it's not the kind of premise that I think I can, so, you know, this is one where it's difficult to just break that down to, here's this research paper. But by the same token, it's similar to how nobody can explain how consciousness actually happens, you know, what leads to someone or something actually having an experience. And it's to the point where people can't even conclude that somebody else is actually having an experience. Like, you can't solidly say that, you know, for sure I'm conscious. You can't. Like, you have no way of actually proving that. I have no way of proving that with you. And yet I still believe you are, because I know that I am. So I guess.
And we can corroborate. I love that word. I start thinking about that a lot. We can corroborate our experience. Mm-hmm. And that's what gives us the ability to be objective, because if you think about it, you know, people always argue with me about objective reality or objective morality. Like, how can anything be objective when everything we do is experiential and relative to our experience? But the fact that we do have this ability, which is really advanced when you think about it, to not just be in this body and experience what it's experiencing, but to think about it from an outside sort of point of view and then communicate with you or someone else about that in a removed manner. You know, we can cognizize, you know, we can think about, it's a pretty amazing, like, levels when you think about who's thinking about the thought, who's observing and hearing that thought, you know, it's like we have layers of consciousness that are very developed, and how could that not be valuable? That's like the most modern technology the universe has to offer is one of us, you know. That's pretty badass. And so
Chris, I say all of that to build onto your point earlier about how evil would come back in different forms, because you said it differently than how I'm about to say it right now, but you said basically that we have a choice at the end of the day, since we are conscious. Like, I have a choice to do something that is moral or evil. And I know that. So because I see that every day with the decisions that I have to make in my life. And so like, let me share with you like a conversation that I might have with a friend, for example. And that friend mentions that, well, evil is a part of God. It must be, because God is literally everything and nothing, if nothing is a thing. And I hear that and I go, that is true. I can believe that. That resonates with me. Like, that would, I would have to accept that if I start with a God creates everything. So the thing is, though, when that is brought up, it tends to be brought up as a way to justify the status quo, you know, to justify the current state of humanity. And so I always end up making the point that I heard you make and that I would make, is that even if you cannot destroy evil itself, we are having an experience right now, and I do have a choice. So it, at the end of the day, it is up to me on the choices that I make. So even if evil would come back or whatever, or take a in different form, or it can't totally be squandered, what wouldn't change, what should not change, is that the individual consciousness has a choice. So so I just wanted to add on to that, because I think it's a solid point, and it is something that actually comes up with the conversations I have, that, well, you can't defeat evil because evil is part of everything. So,
you know, I've had to bring up that yin-yang thing quite a bit, because like, I love that symbol. I have it tattooed right here on my shoulder.
Really? But, cool.
Yeah, to me, you know, from the time I was young, it's a symbol that really makes a lot of sense to me. It explains the left and the right, you know, the right and the left brain hemisphere, the male, the female aspects that are within all nature, like hermetic principles. Like, there's always polar opposites. There's always this balance. But good and evil, that's one thing, if you're looking at it from, like I said, the subjective point of view, that we do have the ability to do, which is fantastic. But in the context of what's actually going on, is we're in a human body. And this human body can do things that could damage other human beings,
right?
Either through our hands actually manipulating, or through our minds in some way or form manipulating to take something that's not ours. That's, you know, didn't grow from our skin. It's somebody else's skin. And, you know, we have the ability to make a choice to destroy another being or destroy other life. And that choice is our opportunity to choose the light path, right? To recognize that you don't have to choose things that are harmful in a way to other things that you wouldn't want harm done to yourself. Like, that's the most basic common sense of all reality, that I think we're partly here just to figure that stuff out and to understand the details and intricacies of that situation and explore it. And that doesn't mean every time we make a mistake that, oh, now you're a bad person, you know. It's like, oh, you did something that sucked and you learned from that. You had an emotion that came up that helped you realize that you were getting off course. It's like, you're the surfer on the wave. You can hold your body different. You can balance different, and you can ride that wave in a more efficient manner, but you can't change the wave. You didn't make the ocean. You know what I mean? So it's a tricky philosophy, and I see why people get hung up in a world that's basically trying to keep people completely focused on the material outcome of things and not to recognize that our choices are what create the physical outcome that we see.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for sure. And I think part of it, like the biggest part of it, like I mentioned, is those three lacking elements, you know, the hyper self-awareness, the and it's self-awareness. I think self-focus might be different. You know, being aware of oneself does not mean that you are solely focusing on
right. Self-discipline's good.
So like the self-awareness, that's a key component. But it's those three things. So critical thinking, self-awareness, in emotional intelligence lacking, that I think if they improve, they'll help people be able to ride the wave in the way that you're saying, because they'll be able to actually see the differences in the choices that they make. like I've noticed tremendous differences in how I'm received by others, you know, in the beneficial impacts that I get from just being aware and being like considerate and doing my best to elevate people, not break them down. And so maybe to, if you don't mind me flowing back into the project that I have a little bit more.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the music too, but go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I want to tell you about some of the, I'll call them design elements of this project, because I'm trying to figure out, I don't know, let's call it a messaging strategy. Like I've noticed with these types of topics, and maybe I'll just throw out what I mean by these kinds, like talking about conspiracy theories or talking about spirituality or talking about natural law or talking about, you know, just all of those, that whole family of type of stuff. I tend to see, like I'm trying to identify what makes, what is it about this topic that makes it difficult for people to ingest, and like, how can I make that easier, you know, for people, like the normies or whatever, I guess I'll say. I don't like that term. I wish I could come up with a different general populace.
Yeah.
And so some of the design elements that I have come to is one of them is to like focus on specific facts rather than like a bigger picture. In other words, if I start at like saying there's satanic pedophiles in government, that's really like big punch to somebody. So rather than that, it's like present the actual, you know, whatever it is, Project Mockingbird or Mark Ultra, and then present like actual just components of it, like little pieces of it, rather than that entire thing, because that entire thing is overwhelming. And it's super overwhelming. Like, I think somebody kind of needs to build up into that. Like, they'll get to that. But since it's about easing people into waking up and understanding that you can't force anyone to do something, I think it's more presenting somebody something in front of people. And, you know, slowly but surely, it will add up over time. So that's one of the design elements. Another one, oh, and with that is that those facts are like validated. So links to sources, links to quotes, links to literally a video of a government person speaking, you know, just ways of saying this is a fact. This isn't like arguable. This isn't an opinion. It's a literal fact. So that's one of the elements. Another one is no quote unquote scary music or tone. And what I mean by that, I found that a lot of times in these topics, there is an understandable urgency and warning element to it. So it'll be things like, you know, do this before it's too late. These guys are trying to X to you. Just these like scary music, like actual like scary music, like dun, 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 you know, whatever it is in the background of this type of content. And all of that is interesting to me, but I have a feeling that it throws people off. You know, it has them feel, because it's scary. Like, it feels scary to engage with something. It feels threatening. And I don't know anybody who likes to feel threatened. If you know somebody like that, I guess let me know, because I'm sure science would want to study that person, because no one likes to feel.
Well, except for, like, all the people that love horror movies and stuff.
Yeah. You
know? But that's because it's a distraction. From the light, you know, it's different than what you're trying to do is ask, how do we get people to look at the light?
Yeah,
because that is scary to look at, because what it means is it threatens your psychological makeup.
Mm-hmm.
And your body instinctively knows that if you massively change your viewpoint on things, your worldview, there's a whole physiological change that has to happen. Your body's always like working with what the mind tells it. Like if you say to your body, hey, we're going to enter a contest later today to see who can eat the most hot dogs. Your body's starting to already juice up for that. It's like, oh, we're going to be taking in a lot of hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's constantly trying to do what you're programming it with your mind to do. And so if you program your mind that, oh, there's nothing that can be done, then your body's like, gear down. We don't got to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or if you're gearing up to like, oh, we got a lot of work to do, then your body starts putting the chemicals out that it needs to do to make that happen.
I need to work on that for my fitness, man, because I'm telling you, if I could like make my brain, make my body, get more active and like eat better and all of that stuff, that would be super
Well,
amazing.
I'll give you my hint. I try to tell this to everyone that I meet because I've made some incredible differences in my life through some very small changes. And I remember it dated back to a couple particular books I read, but one of them was The 4-Hour Workweek, which was I'm blanking on that dude's name right now, but he explains this thing where if you create a habit, and this is also in a couple of the habit books I've read, Habits for Highly
Timothy
Effective
Ferris, I found.
People. What's that?
Timothy Ferris, I
There
just
you go,
looked.
Ferris, right? And then some other people have brought this out too. If you do something every day for about 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, it becomes a habit. And so, like what I did with push-ups, I wanted to start doing push-ups every day.
Oh, nice.
I started with seven, and seven push-ups might be too many for someone who has a heavier body type, but I'm super skinny. Seven is easy for me, right?
Got
So
it.
you want to start out with something that's so easy you can't not do it. So someone might start out with just one squat, right? But you do that one squat every time it's triggered by something else you do in the day. For me, push-ups are like a first thing in the day. I get up, I do my Wim Hof breathing, and then I do 100 push-ups. I only got to 100 push-ups by starting off with seven. And I did seven consistently for 3 weeks. After you do that for 3 weeks, you get up and you can't not do push-ups. It becomes like it's hard to not do it. It's part of your habit now,
Damn,
right?
dudes, you're saying you do 100 push-ups a day, you said? Like 7 days of the week, or
Yeah, every
close to
morning.
that?
Every once in a while I take a day off,
Yeah, sure.
but
But
I do a
let
cold
me
dip
check in.
now too. I have like a whole series of things I do, but it started off with just getting the habit started.
You know,
Another
that's
good
tough.
habit is like when you're brushing your teeth, do squats.
Oh, okay.
Like
While you're
when they're
brushing.
triggered by other things you do, like if you have to go feed the dog or walk the dog every day, well, that's a good time right when you walk out the door, do two pull-ups on the banister or whatever. You know what I mean? Like you find a way to integrate something into your life and you do it and you make it so freaking easy that you have no excuse to not do it every day. And then once it becomes a habit, then you start little by little increasing it to the level which you can maintain it.
That's awesome. That's pretty interesting.
And that's almost true too of like the emotional things. Like you're talking about emotional talent intelligence. And to me, that's like the biggest thing out there that people need to work on.
It's hard. It's
Honestly,
really
looking
hard.
towards everyone freedom, if we can't get along, how are we going to do anything? We're not going
100%.
to do it alone. We're working against teams of people that have been working on this shit for generations.
With
We have to
many
be able to work
resources,
together,
vast resources. Yep.
which means that we have to get our emotional intelligence at a level where we can work together with other human beings.
100%.
And that's practice. That takes practice. That's getting on meetings with people. That's showing up when you said you were going to show up, making an appointment with somebody and then showing up, working together on a project and getting frustrated and working through that and doing it anyway because
And
you
be
have.
honest there, right? Like having an honest dialogue in that space, like and being willing to do that and help make it safe and feel safe for each other.
Absolutely, man. The honesty to yourself is the key. If you can't be humble, I mean, you're just living in a dream, right? But here's what I was going to ask you. Like, because you've already done a lot of work with music, I can see that's helped you a lot on this process. Like, you already know how to get in front of the camera. You're not uncomfortable in front of the camera. But that expression, what I found in my life with my guitar and singing and stuff, is that has been a tool for me my whole life to deal with emotions. Have you found that too? Like,
Oh, hell yeah.
with the
Completely.
music, tell people a little about your music and how you've integrated that in your life. I'm curious to hear a little bit about that.
I will. Before I do, I'll tell you the last design element of the project that I think is important, and
Oh,
it's
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to
No,
stop
that's
your
okay.
process
No, no,
there.
no. No, it's all good. I'll get to that also. And by the way, I did the math. That means you're doing 36,400 push-ups a year, and you're
Right
doing
on.
100 a day. That's crazy. Congratulations, man. That's amazing. So I'll say it real quick. The last design element is do not tell people what to think or how to feel. Because that is another thing that I tend to see in this type of content. It's things like we should be scared. We need to do X. You have to do I, which funnily, like the irony of that is you're now actually in a way enslaving them. I know that might be a hard one to wrap the head around, but if you're telling somebody what to think or how to feel, even if it's unintentional, you're starting that same process again that will eventually lead back to slavery. And
so, yeah, like now you're calling yourself the authority, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then people right away catch on to that. If they feel even for a minute like you're talking down to them, they're like, who are you to tell me?
Yeah, dude. Right? That's the instinct. That's the fucking intuition, bro. Mm-hmm. Anyway, to answer your question about music, yes, 100%. It has helped me with all of this. And I'll tell you something. When I look back, because you can, the whole join the internet, one word, it's one word if you want to Google it, join the internet, everybody. That whole catalog, if you look at the lyrics and things, I've been talking about this stuff for years, and I didn't even really know it.
It's prophetic. It just
was coming out. Yeah, like 2014, there's a song I wrote called Settled. And at the end of the song, there's a refrain that I repeat that says, and everyone I know will open up their minds. And I just repeat that until the song ends. And when I go back now and read that, I was like, holy crap, that must have just been already in me, because I don't write intentionally. Like, what I mean by that is I don't sit down and be like, ooh, now I want to write a song about everybody's going to be waking up. Like, I don't do that. I just end up, what comes out is what comes out. So, and that includes the music, and that includes the lyrics. So it's been interesting to me, because I now look at it as that's been my subconscious, like, trying to talk to me, basically, you know, subconscious trying to talk to the conscious, because like I said, I don't think about it at all when I am writing. It's just what ends up coming out. Even when I collaborate with people, you know, we tend to put demos together in like my bedroom, which I'm in right now, for example. Like, we'll put the music down and then I'll just get on the microphone and just sing whatever comes to mind, and then from that I'll listen to it and, okay, here I'm going like da 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 da. Oh, I think that kind of sounds like I'm saying, everyone I know will open up their mind. So that ends up being how it works out. So yes, 100%.
It's a very intuitive process, right?
Yeah.
Discovery, where things just sort of come to you. It's not like you go seeking them necessarily, right?
And it's to the point where I don't even like really think I can take credit for writing, you know. And it's a, I know that might sound silly, but it's the truth.
I've heard other musicians say that as well.
Yeah, it's true, because I don't know if it was me. Like, I really don't. So
Intergalactic, that's what the Beastie Boys were talking about with Intergalactic.
Really?
Yeah, so I heard him in an interview one time, one of those guys saying how it's like, we don't know where this stuff comes from, man. It's intergalactic. It just shows up, you know?
That's awesome. I'll try to find that. I write down quotes and things like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let me see. I'll make a note for myself. I'm always taking notes.
That's fantastic. And organization has been so big and key to doing like the work I do, for instance, like trying to keep a podcast going, trying to create content. If you don't find a system of organization, it's definitely going to, your whole process is going to grind to a halt. You know, you get stuck, you're going looking for something and you can't find it. Doing all this work, it's amazing how much technological skills you have to acquire.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. That's where, like, I'm sure you know about Mark Passio's classes. I forgot what it's called.
Yeah, How to Become the True Media. I was in the very first one, and that was when I first got to meet
Mark
Passio and show him some of the work I was doing at the time. And that was how I wound up getting on the One Great Work Network, was through meeting him in his class.
Yeah.
And I learned so much from Mark. I mean, like, I'm super, like, I'm not necessarily always a neat person, but when it comes to my computer, my desktop is clear. And it was partly because of Mark Passio's tutelage. You know, he's just like, you don't want all that junk. It slows down your computer. Keep your files organized. Keep your stuff clean. And he really kind of like teaches you like some very simple principle ways of doing things to keep your system working smoothly, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, you know, I've seen it and I've kind of been interested, but I'm pretty far advanced in like lots of technological
things. Yeah, I could see that.
Like that's a part of it. So that's kind of kept me away. But maybe at some point there'll be like a next level up with people who, you know, maybe have like a little bit of programming
advanced skills. Yeah.
Yeah, lots of experience with, I don't know, editing video and stuff like that, because I see it and it's like, yeah, that'd be cool, even if it's just a way of meeting a group of like-minded people. That sounds like an interesting concept. So Mark, if you end up seeing this in any way, if you do something that's more like getting people together virtually, even if you charge for that, I would raise my hand. So I'll just,
the other place I've met a lot of people is through Richard Grove's Autonomy.
Yeah, I heard about that yesterday.
And that's, you know, something to look into. It's another route where, you know, there's a lot of freedom-minded folks that I've – actually, my friend whose house I'm at now, we're working on a business plan together.
Nice.
I met him through the freedom community, through Autonomy. Okay. And, you know, like the podcast too, like I met you because my content's out there. And so, you know, and I'm kind of addressing the questions you're going through as you're thinking out your process of how can I create something that helps other people? And yeah. I think that's super evolved and beautiful. I think people have to really come to a high level of awareness, and then to reach that level where you're ready to share it with others and you have the skills to do that. I think that's really commendable. And then what you have going for you that a lot of people don't, is you've already bridged that gap of learning to use your intuition, like in music, for instance. And I think it's really hard to reach people with ideas of freedom and natural law through the logical brain. And in some ways, it can't be done. So if you can bring things to people in an artistic way, with some flavor of music, with some storyline, with some sort of artistic flavor, you have that much more chance of someone's mind being kind of open and interested and curious. In fact, that's how they do. If you look into mind control, it's all about toying with people's emotions, and all advertising and sales is appealing to your emotions. So even if we want to do a positive version of mind control, or leading people in the right direction, we want to access people's right brain. We want to use our music and our art to open these doors. And I think you're a prime candidate for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't get like shy or embarrassed about saying things like advertising is a useful tool. Like, I actually do think it is. It just depends on the intention. So so it's like the difference between manipulation and influence. You know, when you manipulate someone, you're doing that for yourself. The other person doesn't have something to gain. If you're influencing, you know, you're keeping others in mind as well, and thinking about things like, how can everyone win as much as possible? And in that space, you know, I think it's okay to think about ourselves too. Like, maybe that is, I don't know, somewhat controversial to say, but I think thinking about ourselves is okay. At the expense of others is where it starts to be not okay. So that is where I think, like, you know, words like advertising or propaganda, et cetera, they don't scare me. Like, in other words, I don't mind talking about them as a useful tool, because at the end of the day, I think it is unavoidable. So it then becomes more about how we're using these tools. Is it to just serve myself, or is it to serve everyone, you know, to create freedom or to destroy it? I think that is what's going to make the difference between how a tool is used. It's just like natural law. You know, natural law is all about, yes, even though there is what's moral and immoral, it's really up to the individual at the end of the day to make the choice of how the trivium, you know, and how their behaviors, thoughts, decisions, actions, etc., like whatever they are, you'll get one or the other, moral or immoral. So I think of it that way. Like, it doesn't scare me. And I just mentioned that because, you know, you do hear people with different things. Like, I've heard this. I've heard like a friend tell me, like, oh, you just want to control people. And it's kind of like, I go a little bit like, oh, man, after all this, that's what you say. And I think part of it's because I do have a personality, I guess. I'm kind of a character, and I know that. And I know how these things can come across when you say them out loud to people. So I get
Well, and
it.
it's an ongoing process, right? Like
Yeah, and
I've
it is.
screwed
Yeah,
up so many times with so many people that, there's a lot of things I used to do that I don't do anymore. Even my own kids is a perfect example. For quite a few years there, it's like, oh, here goes dad again with his conspiracy stuff. I don't bring it up in the way I used to because I learned those lessons. Like, especially like we said, if people feel like you're talking down to them, or you're coming from like a holier than thou place, a much better way is kind of like Socratically asking people questions. People love to talk about what they think. And if you ask them questions and get them talking, then you can ask questions that are a little more directed. And you can kind of like sometimes you can put somebody in a place where they can't answer their own questions. And that's better than you asking it.
No, you'll see that happening. You know what? Let me do you mind if I were to share my screen and have my
Oh, absolutely. Feel
project
free.
open?
Yeah.
Just because you're touching on so many things right now that are part of the project doc that I have. I don't know if I shared the project doc with you, but here, let me go desktop.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to checking that out. I love all the things you brought up, the points you brought up from your bullet list there.
Thank
Good
you. Let me
stuff.
see. You mentioned Socratic method. I have that in there, but that's not what I wanted to show. So here you go. Yeah, Socratic method. 100%, brother. I'd love to hear that. Ego and yin and yang, there it is, right? But this is what I wanted to. Shoot, I just saw it. Where is it? Oh, here we go. This is the thing that I, in that scenario, described when you ask them a question and like they try to work it out and they don't come to an answer. This is, I call it the short circuit. And what it means is when they go back and forth between ideas, and when people short circuit, they come out of it with a reaction. So a lot of people get annoyed or shut off what just happened. So it's kind of like when you get a blue screen of death, and instead of troubleshooting the error, you just unplug the computer and plug it back in. So that's a concept that I ended up coming to.
I like what you said below that too. What if we enjoy short circuits like a sneeze?
Oh yeah.
Woo! Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah,
It's like
because
kind of a buzz, huh?
you kept
Oh,
trying to
what a
find
short
the ways.
circuit there,
Like I'm trying to see, yeah, you get it. You get it. Like you hear how I'm kind of trying to find the ways to make these
Well,
types
when
of
you have
things.
these conversations with people, it happens so many times that either you get frustrated and you bang your head against the wall, or you find a way to start making it fun and enjoy the process and see it as a challenge. Like I look at it like Rubik's Cube. When somebody brings up a point that I don't really know how to counter, then it's bouncing around in my head for the next 3 weeks, and I make a podcast about it, and we talk about it in the Warriors, and me and Marvin talk about it, or me and Leslie talk about it, or until I get a way to answer that,
I love that you noticed that part because that's exactly the point of that. It's all about like helping make these things feel safe. Because you know what happens when people short circuit is they if so, if you make fun of them there, then you fucked up because you just shut them off now from you. Like that's going to be a scar that is hard to
Now they're gonna
heal.
have to
But
feel the need to defend against that. Like self,
But if you like use that opportunity to like I don't know, just say like give a hug, you know, say like hey, yeah, that's all good, you know, these are the or like have fun with it, like that's why I put that in there, like 'cause yeah, what if we did enjoy that like a sneeze, like oh shit, I just short circuited, that's
Yeah.
crazy, what
Yo,
a
that was a crazy short
whoa,
circuit right there. Well,
what is
and
that about?
I do actually quite a bit is I think back to myself before I realize certain things. And I try to get back in the mentality of like, well, for years I thought that, like I didn't really understand that government was evil until I was like 20 something years old. I didn't like it. You know what I mean? But I didn't recognize really the aspect of it, how it has to do with morality in that way. And so is it really someone that stupid because they don't realize that? Like, I didn't realize that for 26 years or whatever it was. You know what I mean? It took me a minute, a long minute. So we kind of got to give people the opportunity to learn things. And a lot of times, like after you have a conversation with somebody, it's not till like that night when they're laying in bed thinking about it, when they get a chance to really let it go through their sensors. So if you're too quick to jump to conclusions and push them, they don't get a chance to process. You got to recognize that people need time to process and integrate.
Yeah, because they're going to do that work themselves. And that's what I mean by, like, they're going to wake themselves up. They're going to come to realizations. And that is where I think that signal would be a stronger one if it's associated with critical thinking, self-awareness, and emotional intelligence. Like, those end up being the things I end up coming back to. And I'll tell you, you know, I've looked at all kinds of different dynamics, like dynamics in the workspace, you know, dynamics within a school system, obviously the societal dynamics like police and citizenry. And I've noticed that people will do what you tell them to. People will say sorry when there's nothing to apologize about. They didn't do actually anything wrong. People will get embarrassed about things that aren't actually embarrassing and are actually understandable. An accidental fart is always funny. I will say that. That is always funny if somebody just farts out of...
But why should you be embarrassed about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I guess unless you ate 36,000 Twinkies, in which case you probably should be embarrassed about that.
Exactly. So that one to the side. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, and I think it ends up coming back to these things, like at work, in workplaces. Like, you'll see the authoritarian... in the workplace, who tells people what to do and who enjoys, like, you can see them enjoying that they get to tell that they tell people what to do and people listen. Like, you can see, you can just see that dynamic. It's pretty nowadays it's like disgust me, but back in the day it would just be like, what's up with that? Like, what's fuck that guy or whatever, that woman. But you just see it all over. And so as I look at different situations in our lives, those are the three things that I just keep coming out with. Why are we afraid to question even something like JFK, for example, 9/11, COVID, you know, all of these things. And time again, I kept coming back to those three things, the critical thinking, the emotional intelligence, and the self-awareness. So that is what now takes me into, so that people can go through that process, like you said, have that opportunity to process things. I kind of just want to focus on elevating those three items as much as I can. And I'm still figuring out what exactly that means. Again, part of it is things like being on here and even just talking about it. I do have like more specific goals than that that I can end up talking about if you want, but I'm trying to figure out like what are the products of this project. You know, is it video? Is it lessons? Is it groups? Is it? It's probably going to be all of those things and more.
Right, definitely could be. You know, I think what I found personally is that when you start creating content, whether it's writing or making a video or presentation, you know, everybody kind of has their different ways of going about it, but you have to kind of make a rough draft of something and screw it up a couple times before you really find out what it is that you want to create and what's going to be the best way to do it. So I always try to encourage people, just get out there and start doing something.
Start doing it, yeah.
And you can always delete that account and open a new one. And, you know, who cares, you know, if you screwed up the first one or whatever, but the sooner you get something going, the sooner it can build into something greater, you know, and you can really realize like, oh, that's what it's missing when you see it. Right. And then when someone watches it and they go, you know what would make that better? And then you're like, oh, yeah, let's bring that into the, it's kind of like that thing I was saying with exercise. It's more about integrating something into your lifestyle than it is about one particular project, because a one-off project anybody could do, it's over and said and done. But folks like us that really care about natural law and freedom, this is like from here on. And until we get more freedom, we got this to work on. So it's like good to have sort of a long haul perspective on it and be like, I'm going to keep working on this, whatever. I'm going to just get something out there, and then I'm going to start fine tuning it and refining it until it really starts looking like the way I want it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. And
that's my theory. I'm not saying that's the right
theory. I think you're right, which is why, even though I can't specifically say right now, I'm going to release this and this and this, I'm still already moving, you know, and doing things like, you know, asking you if I could be a part of this show today so I can at least talk about the approach. Because even if somebody ends up watching this and they like the thing that I'm mentioning, I don't own these ideas. Like, they're not my ideas. It's like Mark Passio says, there's nothing new under the sun. So I wouldn't lay claim to somebody wanting to now help others or themselves understand emotional intelligence in whatever way they want to, or, you know, learn about critical thinking or share that with others or self-awareness. Like, great. Like, if you come out with products before me, that's perfect. Even better, because I'm lazy. So, you know, the more that other people are helping, then the more time I get to use for things like, I don't know, making music or thinking. You know, I think a lot.
I can tell, you know, and what's hard to realize is, like, you're brilliant. Your brilliance is a little different than my brilliance. And when I hear you spell those things out and I look at your outline, I'm like, oh, shit. That's a really neat way to put it. I love that. You know what I mean? But it's hard for people to recognize that their own personal knowledge and skill is so valuable to other people, because you already have it. You already know what you know. It's already sitting in your brain. You're used to it. But for other people to hear that, it's going to come as like, boom. Oh, yeah. I like how he put that. You know, your unique spin is necessary and important. And I'm looking forward to seeing it out there, you know? Shared more.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be part of the, you know, one of your premiere episodes on truth and freedom here. This is exciting to me to be part of this process.
So. Yeah, I guess that kind of is what it is, actually, because I'm telling you, man, I've been so scared. I still am for so long. And that's it. That's just the truth. It's scary. Like, it still is. Like, there's times.
And that honesty, man, that's what people need to hear, too.
It's scary, dude. Like, there's times where I'm just like, fuck, this is really overwhelming. Just because there's so much going on and it's constant. And there's billions of people in the world. So it's like a massive, massive scale. So, you know, I end up bouncing back from that. But there's times where it's just like overwhelming, like for real, really overwhelming.
Absolutely. And that like realization process, that matrix, awakening to the matrix process that I think a lot of folks are going through, it's disarming. It's humiliating. It's hard process to go through, especially when people around us don't understand what we're going through when we're realizing these things. And so that's something Leslie and I have been talking about, and we want to help people out with too, where, you know, we got to be there for people that are doing this waking up process. And that's kind of those of us that have already realized things. It's our opportunity to be kind of mentors and teachers to other people that are coming to these realizations. And it's not like we're better or higher or anything like that. It's not at all. We just happened to bump down the road that brought us to the truth. And we were curious enough to look, and other people will get curious too. So, hey, we're at like hour 20. So I usually like to keep the show like hour and a half or so.
Okay.
So you got another good 10 minutes if you want to present something to people before we hang it up for today. And I'd love to have you back on in the future. So we don't got to get it all in on this one, but go ahead.
Thanks, Chris. I wanted to ask you, like, how did you come to these topics? Like, what was your journey like? I'm sure it's in one of your episodes, and you talk about it a lot. So, but like, was there a pivotal moment, or was it? Like,
oh yeah,
gradual?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got hit hard by September 11th, and when the day it happened, actually, my best friend just called me, my childhood friend. We've been friends since we were like, he was like 6 years old, you know, and we still talk. But I was on the phone with him the day of September 11th. And I remember saying to him, dude, this must be like some kind of inside job or something, because that doesn't look right to me.
Yeah.
You know, I was doubtful from day one. And that was before I understood half of I didn't know any of this conspiratorial type stuff.
Yeah.
I knew about like giants and space aliens. I loved stuff like that, but I hadn't really looked into the worldwide cabal or the New World Order. I didn't really get that stuff
Yeah, that's
back
a good
then.
point. That's a good point.
So it took me like 10 years before I really started researching that. And I remember what happened specifically was I got an iPad. It's the second iPad they had out, iPad number two. And after wasting my time for 3 weeks on video games, I was like, what else can you do with this? I'm curious. Like, it's like I got a crystal ball here. What do I want to ask it? And I remember thinking about it for like 2 full days. Like, what do I want to ask my crystal ball? And I was like, I want to know what happened on 9/11.
Wow.
You know, like I was like, I remember thinking people
like
must
just
have
came to mind just like that. Like,
yeah. Like I was like, I was like, that is like one of the biggest questions on my mind. I was like, people must have realized that was bullshit by now, you know, and people must be raising a fuss because that was obviously bullshit. And sure enough, I went and started looking, and then that's when like Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth was just booming. And, you know, I just, from that, I got into weather engineering, and weather engineering and chemtrails devastated me. I spent like a year to 2 years staring at the sky, taking pictures, trying to talk to people about it.
Yeah.
Like I really didn't want to just draw quick conclusions. I really wanted to do my research and understand it because I couldn't get why people were so dismissive of the topic. I'm like, this is like a big deal, man. This matters. If we're getting poisoned from above all the time, every day, why would people be so dismissive about it? That's fucking huge. And it just blew my mind that people couldn't wrap their head around it. They couldn't even talk about it.
Yeah.
And that was almost more than knowing whether or not it was chemicals or not. The bigger deal was realizing that people didn't have the capacity to talk about it.
Even at all, right?
Or even think about it.
Yeah,
and so from those two things, 9/11 and weather engineering, I found all the podcasts. It mostly happened through podcasts. I started listening to all these podcasts, and then I got into Mark Passio's work and Richard Grove and Larkin Rose. And And then I got referred to all the people over time that have talked about anarchy or freedom.
Yep.
And I was super hungry. And then once I started doing all that, it was over. My first podcast was actually called The Skrit Show. And I was doing music stuff because I used to love making up music from scratch. Making up music. I called it Scritch. Me and my friend would just get our guitars out and start making up a song as we went. We would try to do as minimal planning and production as possible. And so I had all these old tracks and I used to play those and interview people. That was my first show back in 8 years ago or something like that, you know. But yeah.
You said used to love. You don't love that anymore, or how did
I do. I just, it hasn't, you know, I've kind of changed my focus in many ways, but I actually love getting back into music. I was actually doing some rapping a couple of weeks ago with my girlfriend's son. He's a rapper.
That's awesome.
I was playing around with trying my hand at some rap. And so I still love making music. I'll never get rid of that. And I hope to get back into it. But right now, you know, I put more of my time and energy into like graphics design and stuff for presentations and truth content. But I want to start bringing the music back into it. I think that's important.
Yeah. And did you mention in one of your episodes, like I think you did, that you kind of changed the focus of the topics you talk about too a little bit, like you broadened them, so to speak. Did I hear that?
Yeah, well, I've definitely gone over more. I used to talk a lot. Like I try to concentrate on, like you're saying, some of the things in the world, like the chemtrails or the 9/11 topics. And I've realized over time that I want to be more about helping people with passion, purpose, why they're here, because it's really all about the self-work. Like if most people are seeing, there's a billion shows out there that will tell you about the problems in the world.
That's correct.
How many are actually helping you change yourself to be the person you want to be? So I've kind of found myself going more towards helping people learn how to create content, helping people learn, how do you actually do the self work? It's one thing to say that, but how do you actually change yourself in a better way in the real world? How do we actually change our mindset? You know, so getting into the actual details of how to self-growth is the direction we're going, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes out of all of that for you and all of us, man, because I know there's like-minded people out there. I'm learning like not exactly day by day, but you know, maybe month by month, that there's more people around me than I knew about who are like-minded or ready to learn more about these types of things. COVID actually ended up being a catalyst for people, it's looking like, which part of me doesn't know how to feel about that, because part of me wonders if that's on purpose as some part of a bigger plan. And that's the interesting part about all this too, because at some point you do have to wonder a little bit, like, am I also paranoid? But I keep coming back to no. But it's a big, complex world out there. So
a little doubt is healthy, I like to say.
Yeah.
You know, anyone tells you that you shouldn't doubt and that you should just believe, they're the ones that are trying to manipulate, you know?
Yeah, that's true too. I agree with that.
It's good to have some healthy doubt and to keep ourselves in check. And I think that's really where having a community really helps out, because all by ourselves in a house with a crazy person, you start feeling crazy too. And yeah, we're living in a world of crazy people, you know, that's the truth. People are nuts out there. They really want to, you know what? I think of it like this. Everything we do is like throwing a pebble into a pond of water. Mm-hmm. And you know, when the pebble hits the water, the ripples go out in every direction, right?
Yeah.
Yep. But government, the idea of government authority is like believing that you can throw out that pebble and make square ripples. Mm-hmm. You know, we can make square ripples. We can make everybody do things, when in truth, you can't. All you can do is create problems. And people are believing in these square ripples, you know, in a world of circle. You know, it's just, it's imaginary world that we're living in, and it's totally corrupted with these false ideas. But because everybody's living them and thinks it's real, it's really hard to break that bubble, you know? And so what we have to do is just be, like you were saying, super honest, super real, and not afraid. Or if we are afraid, we push through that fear and show how it's done, show how courage works, you know?
Oh, I like what you just said about courage. I wanted to show you this website. If I'll call him a friend. It's actually somebody I met through this community. I think you might have heard of him before. Do you know Afix? That's his screen name. Do you know?
Oh, it sounds familiar. Yeah.
So Afix. So what happened is back in late 2022. Have you heard of Unism? Do you know about Unism at all?
No.
If it's okay. If not, but I have a friend who runs this thing called Unism. And he knows a bunch of like people in this type of community. So I told him about my project, and he set up a meeting with folks. And so, you know, it was a good opportunity to just share my starting point and get ideas, kind of like here today. But it was just more people.
Sure.
And it's not a podcast. It was just like literally a meeting, you know, a phone call kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hang out, I guess, if you want to call it that. And he sent me, he sent me this site, Afix did. I sent it in the chat, Humanities Alliance. And I'm wondering if you've ever read this. Because for me, it really is the best summary of what's happening that I've ever found. Humanitiesalliance.com/original.html. Like it covers all of it. It covers the lies that we're being told. It covers what's the actual truth of what's happening. And then it goes into ideas of what to do next. And it boils down to like passing along bits of information to people so that they can absorb it. It has a specific name, but have you seen this before?
No, but I like it. This looks good. Here's the last line. Humanity needs people brave and wise enough to discern the truth and to engage where and how they are most needed. Where is the one or the many who will do this? Who will stand forth? Stop looking around. I am asking you. Humanity's window for potential victory is closing. Well,
yep.
You know, I mean, I think the call's out there. I'll share that link with this episode too and put it in the chat when we got the live stream going. Okay. But I think, yeah, I'm kind of about at that time with my time for today. Would you like to say any last things to the audience before before we close up for today?
Yes, at the end of the La Fin du Mal, the last line is Vous êtes appel à la liberté, which I forgot what that means in English, but you are something freedom. You are Appel. What does that mean? Vous
Well,
êtes.
je m'appelle is your name.
Yeah, so vous êtes
Je m'appelle.
appel à
What is your
liberté.
name? That's what is.
So you are liberty itself or something, maybe? Ce monde sera libre. Your world will be free. Si vous pouvez voir votre propre. My accent is terrible. I'm telling you, I'm not a French speaker. I'm trying to learn it. Alors, tenez-vous debout. I'm getting these, so I'll probably put them side by side so I can make sure that I'm getting it right. But anyway, if you guys haven't read this book, shit, you can't find a copy. It's really hard. I've been looking for it for months. You can get a French version pretty easy on Amazon, but if you want to get an English copy, I kept going on eBay for like months, and finally one popped up, and I got one recently. So
Yeah, the
I'll probably read the
Amazon,
last line of it, but
it's like $2,000 or something for a copy of The End of All Evil. But it's free PDF. You just type in The End of All Evil on the Google search and you'll find a free PDF. And there's like a lot of people that have read it aloud. Actually, I did on the podcast at one point. If you look back, way back, endevil.life. But yeah, there's people that have done a nicer job with the audiobook than I have, so.
Yeah, no, I have the audiobook copies too.
I think
Before, yeah,
essentially
we can.
the answer is you, is what it's saying, right?
Oh, that's fucking right. Yes, I think that's true.
You
That's
are the
true.
answer. That's essentially what we're telling folks, that
Yes.
the
Yep.
change has to happen within us on an individual basis.
Yes,
And,
man.
we can't imagine the physical world changing. It's not going to change if the mental world hasn't changed first. Like
That's
you
right.
can't throw a rock if you don't first think, I'm going to throw a rock. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It just that's how things work. First, we got to figure it out on the mental realm.
Yep.
And I really appreciate your excitement and encouragement to other people out there to do that work, because it's rare
Absolutely.
and it's needed, you know?
I'm happy to do it,
So.
man. I feel like I have to do it. So, simple as that,
Well, you're a
Thank you,
friend
man. Thanks
of,
for having me on.
yeah, you're a friend of the End Evil podcast. I hope we can do more together. Maybe we could play some of your songs from time to time and
That'd be sweet.
have you on the show again. I'd love it.
I'd appreciate that. That'd be awesome. Yeah, we'll keep in touch. One thing I'll talk to you about offline is if anyone has ever considered reprinting this, because it's so rare that I would wonder if we can figure out a way to help make that happen so people can get a copy of it.
I've thought a lot
Thank you.
about that, and I think it would be great if people, anybody else who listens to the End Evil podcast, who's curious about getting involved in that, we could create a team and make it happen.
I'll
That's
send you a
something
note
that'd
on
be pretty
that.
hard for me to do on my own right now, but I want to make it happen and
I'll
have
send you
make
a note on
those.
that. Yeah,
Yeah.
because
Maybe we could put together a little project team and start working on it as a group. That'd be fantastic.
yeah, I'll send you a note on that because it's a thought that came to mind because it's a really good book and it's so hard to find. Like you said, the electronic version is really easy to find, thankfully.
Yeah,
But
but it's
for
nice to
people
get it
like,
out there in print again.
exactly. So. Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate it. This
Awesome,
was super
Marvin.
fun.
Yeah,
Look
I'll be
forward to
checking out. You
watching.
guys check out Join the Internet. Go on YouTube, type in Join the Internet, and check out his awesome music. It's really
Thank you.
fun. It's great music. I was very impressed. So
Thank
thanks
you.
for sharing yourself with the world. And we'll be looking forward to seeing everything you come out with.
Thank you for receiving me. I appreciate it. Lots of
Right
fun today.
on.
Thanks so much. I look forward to the live stream. That'll be cool too.